What's up, everybody, and welcome back. Yes, we are still alive here and well to a new episode of Dark Sunsets. JR, what's good?
What is good, brother? What is good, everybody out there in the listening studio audience? Hope everybody's been well. It's been a little bit. Holiday season's upon us, so it's been a lot of traveling and just getting this holiday working, but it's good to be back and good to be here in the studio with your brother.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. It's awesome. And yeah, I feel like I'm maybe 5 to 7 pounds heavier from Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but I overdosed on turkey and gravy.
Well, I know next year I'm officially going to do it, but Popeyes has a Cajun turkey that you can pre-order. I think it can come cooked or just like, you know, where you just have to toss it in the oven. But if I'm going to gain some weight next year for Thanksgiving, definitely got to make Popeyes part of my Thanksgiving tradition.
Are you just going to blame like the additional weight on just Cajun Sparkle? Is that what's going
to
happen?
I mean, what a way to go. Cajun Sparkle is so delicious, so tasty. It's a great accentuator for any meal, you know. You can even put it on like fries and like anything like that.
I mean, I think it's definitely something that all the listeners here should have in their kitchen at all times for any type of meal because it's well worth it. So before we dive into it, you know, you have something obviously very special to say.
Yeah, it's been a little bit, but as everybody knows, the darker the sunset, the brighter the day.
Hey, so as we have been talking about gaining weight and building up bulk, if you will, whether it's muscle or fat, you know, it happens to all of us. We put on a little bit of weight. Hey, you might have a couple pairs of chins. You might have that little, you know, donut ring about your belly. But ultimately, the holidays are here, so why not go for it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, so everybody's eating at the holiday time and everybody's enjoying food. And part of our first story for the day actually is going to tie into food. And I think we might have about three stories that do tie into food. But with this first one, America is in trouble potato-wise.
Yeah, I mean, which is crazy. I mean, we love our food. I mean, multiple episodes recently we've talked about food. Coming up, we're going to be definitely doing the Popeyes chicken sandwich tasting, but about these shortages of French fries, this is a real thing that could be impacting our country. So as you know, and as the listeners know, there's been some severe weather conditions across U.S. and Canada, so potato crops have had difficulty actually growing. So a lot of the potato processors are actually doing their best to make sure that we can enjoy our fries like fat pieces of shit Americans, as we both know. But the cool weather is actually taking a major impact on suppliers. So ultimately, what we're seeing here is French fry demand has just been really outstanding lately, obviously, because we're here in the States and we all love our French fries. But apparently, they're having difficulty meeting the demand with this shortage that's happening.
Well, you think about all these different fast food places, and one of the staples in any fast food restaurant, for the most part, you know, is French fries. So if every, you know, small chain, large chain, like there's even like mom and pop stores that do French fries. It's one of the easiest things you can do.
Yep.
So if everybody's consuming French fries and you have I think that they said that the amount that was lost was about 3 billion pounds last year of potatoes. So, you know, I'm not sure how many pounds of potatoes Americans are consuming on a yearly basis, but if their loss, or like what they, you know, are short on from the last time was 3 billion pounds, you got to figure, you know, there's like tens, dozens of, you know, billions of pounds of fries. Like that's crazy. Like that's a lot of potato consumption.
I mean, if anything, if it was 10 dozen billions of anything, you would absolutely think like that's a huge number and it's whatever like
tens,
it is.
Tens of dozens of billions of all these potatoes.
Whatever it is, that is a massive loss. And reading into this, I didn't really know, you know, I knew a little bit of areas in America and, you know, in Canada where our French fries come from, obviously, you know, Idaho specifically, but, you know, you're seeing states like Oregon, Michigan, North Dakota, Wisconsin, basically all the places where, I don't know if about you, but I don't want to go there. So, you know, as long as they're still producing the French fries on my plate, all power to them.
Well, that's the place, you know, those are the places where, you know, tourism might not be as high, but, you know, they'll make a hell of a potato. So they do their thing. It's like, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go to Area 51. But, you know, I will enjoy an occasional French fry as long as they're not, you know, sold out at all these places that we go to.
And that's good. And I know we touched a little bit on, you know, obviously for food right off the bat. And you mentioned the turkey that actually is served at Popeyes, which is amazing. So our next story definitely leads into Popeyes, because why not, right? We haven't got a sponsorship by Popeyes yet. I'm actually shocked because we do reference them so constantly. The praise is amazing. We're going to be doing a tasting soon here. But our next story is the Migos, the highly acclaimed rap group based out of Atlanta, have actually announced a deal that they are teaming up with Uber Eats, Popeyes, and they're launching the Migos menu.
Yeah, so the, you know, the Migos basically have a deal with Popeyes and also Uber Eats, where I guess Uber Eats will deliver these Migos menu items. And Popeyes basically has it set up where Migos, each of the Migos, there's three of the Migos for all of you that aren't familiar with them, Takeoff, Offset, and Quavo.
Yep.
And so I think by popularity, you know, because Offset is married to Cardi B, so I believe he's the most popular. Quavo would be the second most, and then Takeoff is the, if you will, least popular of all three of them.
And does Takeoff actually have lyrics? Because I remember that controversial interview that happened where, you know, you think you're bad and bougie, and it's like you don't say two words in any of the songs. So Takeoff's...
Yeah, he had a recent album come out maybe, I want to say, like 3 or 4 months ago, and I listened to most of it. It wasn't bad. But like I said, he's like the least popular. So
yeah,
and the price of all of these items, like Takeoff's menu item is the least expensive, and then you have Quavo's being second most expensive, and then Offset's being the most expensive of the three. But then there's also another box that's called the Tour Rider, where that's like the big boy of the boxes. So Takeoff's meal is $9.99.
Yep.
It includes 5 tenders, 2 sauces. They got a portion, they said a portion of mashed potatoes, just call it a side. A side of mashed potatoes, 2 biscuits, and an apple pie.
See, that's perfect for me. I'll take the Takeoff all day. As we're progressing here, I understand the prices go up, food quantities increase, but that's ideal right there.
Well, the Quavo could be interesting. So with the Quavo, you get, for basically $18, you get 2 sandwiches. So that's the acclaimed Popeye sandwich that we will be doing a live taste test in the next week or two.
Absolutely.
But you get 2 sandwiches, 2 orders of fries, a side of mashed potatoes, and gravy. And so the first one just said a side of mashed potatoes. The second one says mashed potatoes and gravy.
Ooh.
They need to check that real quick.
I don't think the Takeoff, it's probably one of like those meals where you can't add things from the Quavo and onto the Takeoff, right? It's one or the other.
If they're slinging mashed potatoes without gravy, that's trouble right there. That's another
almost disrespectful.
But then it also has 2 apple pies and 2 small drinks. So that seems like that's like a solid meal for two, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, and then the Offset, the most popular of the Migos, it's an 8-piece bone-in chicken meal.
Ooh.
With a large fry, a large mashed potatoes and gravy, and 4 biscuits, and that's $22. And then the big boy, the Tour Rider, is the most expensive of them all. It's $47, and that includes 20 tenders, 7 sauces, 1 large mash and gravy. You got 2 large fries, 5 biscuits, and a gallon, just a full gallon of your own personal lemonade.
So, and let's touch on this as well, right? So if you look at the Tour Rider, which is $47, you have 2 sets of potatoes, right? So you have 1 large mash with gravy and 2 large fries. We just learned that there's a significant shortage throughout this country that's going to be happening. So they might have to reevaluate what's going on here. But what really took me by surprise is 7 sauces.
7 sauces. I mean, you think 20 tenders, you know, you basically want to have, you know, 1 sauce for every 2 to 3 tenders. You know what I'm saying?
That's a lot of sauce.
You want to make sure that, you know, you get your tenders dipped properly.
So let me get this. You do not eat tenders bare. You would, meaning like if you had the sauce, you're going sauce. There's no way you would eat a bare tender.
Well, Popeye's tenders are flavorful. So, okay. You know, like I could go. I don't even know Popeye's really had 7 sauces, to be honest
Neither
with you.
Neither did I, yeah.
Like they have 17 different ranches, but, you know, it's just variate. It's Black and Ranch, Cajun Spark. Like, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, you get your sauce worth. You get, you know, nice lemonade. Some people can't enjoy lemonade as much as others. But
right. So ultimately, as we're looking at this, there's, you know, those three different there's three levels, right? So the Takeoff, the Quavo, the Offset, or the fourth, which would be the Tour Rider. So depending on the amount of people you have, who you have in the house,
right,
who likes what. But what really makes me laugh here is you've used Uber Eats before, right?
Right. Yeah.
So using Uber Eats, what everybody knows is even though this does say $9.99, when you get to the checkout of Uber Eats, that $9.99 takeoff meal is going to be $33.50.
The price takes off. That's literally, you know, that's what happens when you use Uber Eats. That's the whole partnership part. Takeoff.
I mean, it really does. And what's interesting is, as well as you went through all of those categories of what levels of different meals, also it did show an image of actually what the box looks like, right? So here, if you can look over here, the Popeyes Migos menu, and it looks like a Hypebeast box. Like it comes in this green specific Popeyes Migos exclusive menu. This is the Tour Rider.
Yeah.
And as you're looking at this, there's literally photos of the Migos inside of the box itself.
Yeah, I think the photo of the box itself, I think that's the Tour Rider, you know, one, because that looks like it's like the, what was that, five biscuits? Eight, wait, is that five?
20. Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's
yeah.
five biscuits, the 20 tenders. Yeah,
20 so tenders, fries, and mash, the seven itself, sauces.
Like, when the box is closed, it actually looks like it would be something that would have, like, wrapping paper or, like,
Jordans,
you know, bows or... Right. Like arts and crafts type stuff inside of it. Like does not look like food.
That's the thing. So you could literally like be at home if you were high and you would get a knock on your door and you're like, I didn't order, you know, headphones that were wireless to my house. It's at 9:30.
Like the Girl Scout box of deluxe cookies where it has 15. Like it look. I mean, I don't know. Uber Eats needs to offset their prices with that delivery. But, you know, the prices right now, if it's Uber Eats normally, the prices will take off.
So. It will absolutely take off, and I'm sure that's got to be a running joke. So, and that stunning official, music, which is amazing,
official Migos menu music for 2019.
Well, I think that was actually when you open up the box. And they go, the Tour Rider's here. And as they open up the Tour Rider, they go, make sure you check to see if you have the seven sauces.
Wow, please. That's incredible. You know, Popeyes and Migos just setting it off. I mean,
I think I looked over and you actually took off in your chair for a second right there.
Only here, only after you talk about some sort of Popeyes event do you get the royal music.
That's what it was. It was almost like the deleted scenes of Game of Thrones music, and it's like, and here are the four quantities of the Uber Eats collab with Migos that you could order today. But ultimately, that partnership is actually happening from tomorrow, December 6th, all the way to January 2nd. So I highly recommend, if you do have Uber Eats, if you do have a Popeyes in delivery service around you, to see if they put it on there, because it would be interesting to see what that would look like. And I'd order the Takeoff. That would just be me.
Or just get out of the house and just drive down to the Popeyes too. You know, that always works. Either or.
That's an experience.
You know, that's quick snack on the drive through. It's all good. But the next story I was going to say, we should probably transition to that. My screen doesn't want to load up the story, but we have a story about a rapper, or a former rapper. I don't know if he actually raps anymore, but Master P, you know, make him say, you know, Master P has came out. So he's previously, I know a lot of you know about these, you know, snacks like potato chips and whatnot. They're called rap snacks.
Yep.
And there's like pictures of rappers on each of the bags, you know, each of the, you know, the chips are one specific rapper, the, you know, cheese doodles or another type, you know, whatever else. But Master P has came out with his own line of ramen.
Yeah, which is unbelievable in my opinion as well. So he basically came out and said he grew up on eating, you know, cup of noodles and ramens and heating them up in the microwave, having those for lunch and dinner. So he was inspired to make his own. So what he's done is, similar to his rap snacks, he's actually now having various different flavors and using wrappers on different flavors of these ramen dishes, if you will. So it's really going to be interesting. If you see them in a market near you, I don't know if they're going to have them in like a market like Publix though, right? You're going to have to maybe go to like maybe a Winn-Dixie.
I mean, maybe an Aldi.
Maybe an Aldi. These aren't. Could you imagine walking into that fucking European ass store and be like, y'all got wrap snacks? The Swedish woman Helga behind the counter would go, excuse me? And then I'm like, yeah, I'm looking for the Boosie shrimp flavored ramen.
Dankeschön.
Yeah.
but the thing that's crazy is there's been a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of movement in the, I want to say like in the ramen genre, however you want to call it that.
Yep, that's this new episode. Is that called Ramen Genre?
Ramen, the Ramen Genre.
Yeah, 100%.
Because, so there's a show on, you know, Viceland. Viceland has a bunch of funny shows and good shows. They have like Fuck That's Delicious.
Hell yeah.
With Action Bronson, the rapper.
Yep.
They got, you know, 2 Chainz on Most Expensive Is.
Great show.
And then they had T-Pain School of Business. Yeah. And on T-Pain School of Business, they might even have these guys also on the 2 Chainz Most Expensive Is, but in 2 Chainz School of Business, there was a company that actually made, I don't want to call it fancy ramen, but it was, you know, a little bit thicker than your old school ramen that's a cup of noodles, and it was packed with vitamins and nutrients and actually really, really healthy for you. But it was, I don't remember the price. I know it was at least double digits per bowl, something like that. But
wow.
Packed with, it was all nutrients, all vitamins, so it wasn't just filler. And this company, you know, I believe it was 2 Asian brothers, whatever, but they like to play video games and whatnot, and they came up with this company, and it's actually really starting to take off. But there's been a couple different ramen companies now that I've seen on these different shows where it's all about better quality ingredients, a lot more nutrients, a lot more organic, all that stuff. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be, you know, there's even all these ramen places that are popping up just, you know,
very,
storefronts.
Very much so. Yeah. I mean, if you think about the top ramen that you and I were eating back in the day, it's like, you know, sodium filled, just really terrible. But, you know, if you can make that somewhat nutritious as much as it can be, I think it would take off and be booming for sure.
Yeah. You because you can't, even with the, it wasn't cup of noodles. Is it Top Ramen?
Top Ramen.
The one that's just like the little packet that you get in college and you
get. Yeah, and you get like the noodles and you can break them up.
Packet.
And then the sauce packet sprinkles on top. And then
the powder,
Yeah.
So with that sauce, that powder sauce packet, it had so much sodium in it where I'd only use about a third of the packet anyway, just to try to keep my blood pressure low. But if you think about it, I mean, I'm not going to say it was noodles, but I mean, it wasn't.
No.
It wasn't. It said it was Top Ramen. I don't know if it was the Top Ramen that they was technically slinging, but.
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not. When you eat a meal that's less than 25 cents.
Yeah.
Per
like
dish.
It was like a 40 pack for like $1.50.
Yeah. You always wonder, like, what am I putting in my body right now? So I feel as if, and I know you feel the same, is this is a meal that you eat as a teenager. And that definitely leads us into our next story about teenager, because this, in my opinion, is one of the craziest stories that I've read in a very long time. So T.I., the famous rapper, what he does, he has a daughter from another lady, I believe you were telling me her name. What was her name? Tiny?
Yeah.
They have a daughter together. Don't know that relationship. But T.I. actually says that he goes to the gynecologist with his daughter every single year when they do a checkup to check to see and maintain that her hymen is still intact.
Yeah, so T.I., he's most recently been on Netflix with the show Rhythm and Flow, where it's basically him as a judge with Cardi B and Chance the Rapper. And it's kind of like an American Idol style, you know, hip hop, you know, star search or whatever, where they have up and coming, you know, talents. And you know, it's actually a really good show, and there's a couple of really good artists. They have music on Apple Music and stuff now too. Actually, a really good show. But you know, T.I. has been, I guess, just, you know, getting his digital money because he has a bunch of shows and whatnot. And he's on the, I guess it's like the Red Table Talk with Jada Pinkett Smith, and I guess it's Jada Pinkett Smith and her mom.
Yep.
Her mom, actually, they say in the article, shout out to the moms, because we always give the shout out
to them. We love all you moms out there. Single moms, divorcees, moms all around.
So, yeah, it's Jada Pinkett Smith and her mom, Adrienne Banfield Jones. And so in this specific interview that she does, because they do this on Facebook a lot, and they post this on Facebook, but, you know, Jada Pinkett Smith is almost, it's her podcast. It's called Red Table Talk, but it's almost like a therapy session where she's sitting at like a red round table and they talk about issues and this and this and that and, you know, family and this, this and that. So basically, T.I. agreed to speak with Jada and her mom so that he could clear up any misconceptions about what he said. But I guess the people are T.I. saying that the people are spinning the narrative out of control versus him just being a, you know, his side of the story is like he's being a caring dad and making sure that, you know, some, I think at some point in time in the story, they said it was any fat fingered little boys, fat finger boys, something like that, chubby fingered little boys.
And so here's the thing, okay? So let's say he is being a protective dad and he's making sure that obviously everything is intact. His daughter is, I think, 16 years old. Apparently he does this annually. But what happens when he goes to the gyno with her and the news has been broken, like her hymen potentially, and has been broken the news directly to T.I.? What does T.I. do then? Does he make a new album? Or does he, like, talk about this? Does he go on a killing spree? That's what I want to know. If he's so dedicated to do this every single year, you know, I want to know the outcomes of what happens if in the event that she's not. I mean, this just seems like an overbearing parent. And I think you have a little bit about the article or the conversation that they had at that table. But I saw a little bit of it, and it looked like T.I. is just a lunatic in their household.
So yeah, the daughter in checkup, if you will, her name's Deja, and I guess there's an R&B singer named Miss Nico who's actually Deja's mom. But they said that you know, Miss Nico, Deja's mom, you know, T.I.'s daughter's mom, baby mom, whatever, was also present for all the checkups as well. So I'm guessing that at least, you know, if T.I.'s taking her, then at least, you know, the daughter's mom's actually gonna go in the room and everything just to make sure, you know, check that. But there's, you know, per a United Nations or United Kingdom sexual health, you know, board member, they said there's no actual way to check whether a person's a virgin or not. I mean, you certainly wouldn't be able to do that with a boy. I'm not familiar, but I'm not a doctor. I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express recently, but yeah, I'm not sure if you can actually 100% check that anyway. So it's like everything looks good, you know, just if everything's healthy and she seems to be polite, I think you all good, T.I.
And to T.I.'s catchphrase, if you want to mention, how is he feeling right now? He's in the thick of it.
he's in the thick of it now.
He's in the thick of it now. So ultimately, I just think this is a crazy story that could have absolutely been, you know, embellished a little bit more than what we're understanding. But T.I., just, you know, relax. Let your daughter, she's in college. She just had her first year in college. Let her live her life. But ultimately, you know, we're having these stories about rappers, and that leads us into our final story of a rapper that we actually, an R&B artist that we did talk about significantly during the couple first episodes of Dark Sunsets. But that's our boy, R. Kelly. And R. Kelly is up to, obviously, not good things again, because federal prosecutors have hit R. Kelly with new allegations that appear to be tied to his illegal marriage with Aaliyah, where he actually tried to pay an actual public official to create a fraudulent ID to say that she was 18 when in actuality she was 15, so they could get married.
And I mean, everybody knows about R. Kelly and surviving R. Kelly and all that stuff. I actually didn't watch the special. I really didn't want to dedicate any time to it, really.
Yeah.
And Dave Chappelle actually does a great reenactment on, it's the Dave Chappelle stand-up special on Netflix called Sticks and Stones.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a great reenactment. He covers a lot of stuff, but he mentions R. Kelly, you know, for a couple minutes, and he goes in and kind of reenacts everything that you would need to know, but in a nice Dave Chappelle type way. So you guys should check that out. But you know, R. Kelly has kind of been all about the young girls and all this and all that and all the scandal and whatnot. So the fact that Aaliyah was like 14 or 15 at the actual time that they got married or whatever happened.
Insane.
And he got just fake documentation, like that's some like next level, you know. And apparently in the sex tape, one of the sex tapes from R. Kelly, Dave Chappelle also talks about this. But R. Kelly is heard saying like this is the best 14-year-old pussy that he's ever had. And Dave Chappelle's like, you know, give your lawyer something to work with. Like, he's like, don't sit there and say 14-year-old.
The specific age, yeah, right there and then.
Yeah.
But we wanted to bring that news to you because we obviously want him to, you know, burn in prison and you know, get the actions that are due to him and all the things that he was been doing illegally. And he was just a truly terrible man. But, you know, this is something that we go into our next story that he probably could have leveraged and used, but it's still being introduced to the public. So we're at that point now, and I want to know your insight, JR, about this, that the world is actually developing, and it's going to be a shot for the first male birth control. So just to dive into this a little bit in detail, after years of human trials, there is actually a drug currently that is reversible inhibition of sperm under guidance that is ready, and it's a gel that inactivates the sperm. But they're also now exploring an actual drug that can be a shot, that is something that can be injected. And I'll let you share a little bit more about this, but I have a feeling now that obviously, you know, women are so dependent on birth control, but now that if male birth control is floated into the mix, is it going to be a one-to-one? Are both going to have it if both parties don't want to have kids? I have a feeling now there's going to be more pressure on men to get the birth control shot if this starts to go completely to the public. And now women on the other side don't have to do this because, you know, obviously there's side effects for women. They get acne. They, you know, gain weight. They go a little bit loopy. I mean, I would not want to inject male birth control inside of me, but, you know.
Well, yeah, so this was created by, I believe his name is Suhoi Guha. He's 78 years old, and he's based out of Delhi. But it's basically, the drug is just a single preloaded syringe, and it's a shot.
Mm-hmm.
So when, I guess they inject it into whatever the tubes that do carry, you know, your sperm from the, you know, the balls to the penis or whatever. But they shoot that in, and it actually, it says it's non-hormonal.
Is this sex ed right now?
It says it's non-hormonal, kind of. It says it's non-hormonal. It's a long-acting contraceptive. And supposedly, it's going to be effective for 13 years. So,
wow.
If you take this one shot, that's a little crazy though. If you take this one shot and it lasts that long, like,
does that mean if you decide to have kids within the 13-year interval that you can't?
You're probably gonna have to freeze some samples in advance of doing something like that, because 13 years, unless you're like a, you know, teenager, you know, that's a while. Like, if you turn 20, it's like, you know, you might be trying to do that when you're, you know, in your 30s, whatever. But
right.
Yeah, they've already done years of human trials on it. And I guess the description kind of creeps me out. They said that it's a viscous gel which inactivates the sperm. So I don't necessarily know if injecting a viscous gel that will shut me down for 13 years. I don't know if that's the...
I don't think I want anything viscous inside my body.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm vicious enough, so I don't need to add, you know, all this other stuff. But no, this is just crazy because... You would think, from your point from earlier, you would think that younger guys that need to be, you know, responsible, or guys that just aren't interested in having kids at the time, whatever, would consider this also as an additional, probably preventative, you know, because some girls would still probably feel more comfortable knowing that they, you know, had that protection as well.
Yeah.
And then it would probably make things a bit better for the youths that are running around or whatever, so it would stop all these accidental pregnancies, if you will, like,
right,
just having tools for guys. Cause they also said that there's coming out with, in the future, is going to be a pill,
yep,
and like I think it's like a rub on gel or something like that, or something like that.
Is it going to be vicious though? If it's a vicious gel?
I don't know. I don't fox that.
And what was interesting as well within this article, it definitely shares the most common contraceptive methods worldwide. And if you look at the bar graph, the one that was leading was no method.
Right.
Which means exactly. People are blasting inside.
Yeah, I mean, it's the population has spiked probably. I don't know what the population rate is, but that's also probably was tied to the potato shortage as well, because there's too many motherfuckers running around and they like French fries. So
this and we is, can't have a shortage. Absolutely not. And within here as well, I mean, there's about 10 of the most common contraceptive, and one is just entitled withdrawal, which is the most polite way of just saying I'm pulling out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean that, I don't know. It just, people need more options. There needs to be more options. So I'm glad that this guy, this Dr. Guha, I'm glad that he's getting his work in, and hopefully they have like a pill for guys. That'd be dope too. You know what I mean? But I mean, at the end of the day, just be responsible.
Yeah. I mean, if you need a vicious gel, just get a vicious gel, but I mean, definitely focus on that completely. So, we are going to finalize today's episode with something that you and I have been jumping up and down and talking about. Before we started this episode, we were watching videos. We, you know, learn a lot about this new vehicle that's hitting the market in 2021. It is the Tesla Cybertruck.
The Tesla Cybertruck. So yeah, we just, everybody knows about this Tesla Cybertruck. They watched the some sort of press conference or seen photos of it, whatever. And
it looks so great.
At first, it took me a little bit to get used to the look. You know, it kind of looks like the truck from Halo 1, the Warthog.
Yeah.
It actually kind of looks like that. But if you actually look, if you go to like the Tesla website and actually look at the...
Which you visited multiple times.
This has impressed me. Like just the whole, just everything. And it's basically like the comfort of a luxury Tesla on the inside with the, you know, stance and the functionality of a truck. So, you know, the design is like a little bit unorthodox, but if you go and actually look at it, like the exterior body is made from, it's like this crazy stainless steel exoskeleton. So it's like really durable. So if you were to get like hit or something like that, it, you know, it keeps you safe, because a lot of cars and trucks, actually all cars and trucks right now, have collapsible panels.
Yep.
On the outside. And then the framing and the roll cages and infrastructure are what's actually the protector of you. But this has an actual exoskeleton on the outside, which helps keep you protected. So
and,
that's kind
of, and that's
dope.
The thing is, like, a lot of people are saying, like, from a popularity standpoint, that it looks terrible, the design is gross. I like it because it's so unique in the way that it is created. Obviously the exterior of it looks very futuristic. It looks like something from, as you mentioned, like a Blade Runner or like a RoboCop, something like a
right.
futuristic movie.
Right.
But the functionality of what the car can do, I mean, you and I watched a video of it being able to auto drive, I mean, and make a left-hand turn without you touching the vehicle. So that really excites me. And the fact that, you know, it doesn't require gas, of course, and the ability to be able to pull anything up to about 10,000 pounds, and it's reasonably cost. It's not like really breaking the budget for something like that.
Yeah, I think it even got up to, I think some of the models actually got up to like 14,000, whatever, but it can seat six, and you know, it's got the traditional Tesla insides where it's just clean dash and everything is controlled by the tablet, and it's like real versatile and whatnot. But there's like three different, I guess, juice models, and so it's like if you get the lowest level, you can go up to like 250 miles on a charge. Like the second one up is like 300. And
yeah.
Then the last one was like a supercharged one that goes from 0 to 60 in like 3 seconds or less. I think it was like less than 2.9 seconds, I think it said. That's 500. So
Jesus.
It's 500 miles on a single charge. If you're really like a road warrior, that's pretty tight. So, I mean, if you get a chance, go out to just the Tesla website and look at it. And
yeah, watch the unveiling of the video as well, where Franz, our boy Franz, hits it with a sledgehammer.
Doesn't dent it at all.
They shoot a gun on the car, and it doesn't even make a bullet hole actually in the vehicle. I think it's going to be, you know, something that is going to sell out even being able to actually try to put in a reserve, and it's only $100.
$100 in reserve, it is full of refundable, but then also, what was I going to say? Oh yeah, it's produced, or it's going to be produced in 2021.
Yeah.
Like the one that goes up to 500 miles, and that's the super juice one. I think that's produced in 2022, but in 2021, you might see a couple of these rolling through a hood near you.
One of us might have a Tesla Cybertruck.
Peace.